Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Tonight, it's baseball night in San Diego, and our host Mike Grace isn't just excited about the Padres versus the Marlins. He's all geeked up for the post-game concert with Nelly.
It just gets you excited about everything that it brings, everything that it brings to the city and to the ballpark and the team.
Our other host, Randy Jones, is also excited about the concert, but might be slightly horrified to know that Gracie's been practicing his dance moves in front of a mirror all week to look good for Nelly.
That's almost TMI.
Right?
That's crazy.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Mike Grace and Randy Jones.
It's baseball night in San Diego on Padres Social Hour.
I just happen to have a baseball.
You have a baseball. It's the night. Fantastic win last night for the Padres. But first, we got to get to a little baseball history, little fun that just happened. Is there anything better, maybe even in sport, that just grabs you from whatever you're doing? There's nothing in football. Ooh. If basketball, like a guy's got 40-something points, maybe you want to see if he gets to 50. But there's nothing like a no-hitter in baseball.
That's right.
So
especially the last three outs.
Yeah.
That is the...
The last three outs, so 15 minutes ago or so, Cole Hamels, in what might be the craziest thing ever, probably his last start as a member of the Philadelphia Phillies, he goes out in Wrigley Field and throws a no-hitter.
Yeah, in a ballpark where you love it. This is great.
And one of the craziest finishes to a no-hitter. So,
The wind's blowing. He gets back there. He falls.
Chris Bryant at the plate with two outs. Hits the ball hard. Hits the ball deep to center. And Odubel Herrera is in center field. And he overruns it. Like, he clearly overruns it.
Big time.
Realizes it. Plants. And falls down. And somehow gets his glove just barely under the ball to finish the no-hitter. Hamels goes 130 pitches. And mind you, I don't think the Phillies are too worried about his arm, since that's probably the last start he'll ever make for him. So,
well,
good luck to the next team.
But when you have a no-hitter like that, you're going to let him go. You're going to let him do that. And you need to. I mean, you don't get that opportunity that often. You know that. I know that.
Oh, no.
And, I didn't see the whole game. I'm one of the lucky ones. I walk in here with one out to go. I love that. Good time.
RJ, get in here. Watch this left-hander.
In Wrigley Field, you can't set a better tone. I mean, all the history of baseball in Wrigley Field, and you're potentially your last start as a Philly, you pitch a no-hitter.
It's funny. Jason Stark tweeted something like, this is the most important start in Philly's front office history right now, because this is going to determine how much value they can get for Cole Hamels. And he did about as well as you could possibly expect.
That might get him another player in the trade. I don't know.
Yeah, you get another low-level pitching prospect out of it.
What was funny is
a no-hitter.
I think you saw him a week or 10 days ago. He pitched against the Giants and just looked awful. Gave up a grand slam, nine earned runs. And boy, he just wasn't locating well at all. Then just spin right around in another week. And that's baseball. That's how baseball is
against
played.
A good lineup, too.
Yes.
I mean, a really good lineup.
Young, talented lineup that can swing the bat. That's great.
Well, congratulations out to Cole Hamels, even though he hasn't been the best. Now, here's the thing. He's got a lifetime contract with the Padres from Andy Strasburg. His mom was an employee here with the team back in the day. Signed him for a lifetime contract. Does that mean the Padres actually have a no-hitter now that he's thrown it? He wasn't in a Padres uniform.
No.
All right, I'm begging there.
Doesn't count.
Hey, let's talk about last night. Let's talk about another really well-pitched game by Andrew Cashner.
I agree.
Man, what were you seeing? What was working so well for him last night?
Well, in the last three or four starts, number one, he's not trying to throw 97, 98, reach back. He didn't have to. 94, what I love is just the sharpness of his two-seam fastball and his location. I mean, there's a couple of situations where he got squeezed a little bit, I thought. Right? You just make a quality pitch. It's just like that one there, that little two-seamer. And like away from, the left-handers, away from the right-handers.
As you say he's getting squeezed, we see two well-framed pitches that probably weren't quite strikes that he rings up guys
on.
Well,
yeah. Of course, when you watch every pitch, you see the ones you should have called a strike. Do I sound like an old pitcher? Good.
A little bit.
But right there's a real key. Later in the game, he did a great job going in on guys like that. That's what you need to do. You have to do it in the big leagues. Especially if you're going to face a guy three or four times in the lineup. That third or fourth time up, I thought he did a great job kind of moving the ball in a little bit more, sawed a couple of guys off, but, really established inside, and he was just great yesterday. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, he was really, really good. He gives up the leadoff walk in the first, comes around to score, then he cruises until the seventh, and that's when things got a little hairy, and Pat Murphy came out and talked to him, and this is what Pat Murphy had to say last night about that conversation.
What I saw in him tonight is a guy that give up a run in the first after a leadoff walk, and then settled down and just was on it. And, you know, we've taxed our bullpen pretty good, and we were looking for an opportunity to keep him in there. When I went out in the seventh, he looked me right in the eye. He said, "I got this. I'm telling you, I got this." And sometimes, you know, Shields has done it to me a couple times, and you really, as a competitor, you use that sometimes to help make your decision. And I went out there with the intent to see really how he was and see how he'd react to me coming out there. And he got me early. And his teammate said, "Yeah, hey, yeah, let's go. We can do this." It was just a great, great moment in the game that he did that and then got out of it. So pretty impressive of Cash. You know, you show trust in him like that, he responds. And it's all about trust.
So many things work in there. One, taxed bullpen. We've seen some of the detriments of that, having to bring Shields out early, going four innings there. Didn't quite work out a game or so ago. The thing that really interested me, the other infielders, he said they really had his back there. They really wanted him to get in and finish that inning, and his teammates really wanted to see him go out there and shut him down.
There's no doubt in my mind that Cashner coached those infielders before Murph got out there.
Is that
you do everything you can?
Is that in those 10 seconds it takes for him to walk out,
right?
Or is it a pregame meeting? Hey boys, if he comes out in the seventh, you guys
got
to have my
back. No. Just when they got there before Murph, and he goes, "Hey, you guys got my back," and you know, so they said, "Yeah, we got you." So that was great. I was glad to see him leave him in there. And great for Cash. That's a real boost of confidence right there.
And it really is a little bit of a change in what we've seen from Pat Murphy. He's been a little bit quicker with the hook, and we've seen that with James Shields, Ian Kennedy, some of these other guys. And one, maybe it was a little bit out of necessity. He said the bullpen had been taxed. But two, hey, he wanted to challenge the guy. And this game maybe not quite as important as a few others, this homestand, because they've lost a couple. So, hey, go out there and let this guy really earn
exactly.
That.
And, he made a mistake. He gives up the triple. But he really hadn't lost anything as far as velocity in his stuff. And I think Pat Murphy knew that as well. And it didn't surprise me. That's what you want every starting pitcher to say when you walk out there. How do you feel? You know, and then you start your routine. I used to start mine about halfway. You know, manager's about halfway there. I was already barking.
You tell him to get back
coming out. Yeah, you don't need to come out here. You know, I was just trying to convince him I didn't want to come out of the game.
No, and that's that competitive spirit you really want to see. And you always really see out of Andrew Cashner. And I think that's what can make him great down the road. He's just got to put a few more things together to kind of take that next step into that elite top-tier rotation pitcher.
Yeah, to be that elite pitcher's consistency and having the confidence to have that every fifth day. Like, and then that's work. That's a work in progress, I think, with Cashner.
On the other side of the ball, you talked about Cashner throwing the ball hard. I think I read today he's got the third highest average fastball in the league right now. Dan Herron, man, he was tough. He gave up the three solo homers, but he's topping out like 87, 88 miles an hour.
But he's
still making pitches. I'm always just shocked at how these guys do it. How does a guy like that continue to get outs at this level?
Well, I did it for a living. Like, you're talking to the right guy, I think. You know, I didn't top out at 88. I topped out about 85. But, you know, when you got a 77-mile-an-hour curveball, 83-mile-an-hour splitter, you know, and he'd back off at 85 to 88 was when he'd max out and try to sneak a fastball by someone. And it's all about pitching. It's all about hitting good spots. And, you know, that's the one thing. I mean, you know, Heron's a 13-year veteran. He's been around a long time. Yeah, he's lost a little bit, but still knows how to pitch. And he's going to keep the Miami team in the ballgame. That's what he's kind of been able to do in all his starts this year. Nothing real pretty, little ERA, you know, went with 3.7, you know, and he had a 500 record, but he keeps that ball club in the games, and that's what it's all about.
And you just saw an older pitcher at the end of the game. Yeah. He's going to miss at this location. He missed a couple bad pitches there to Alonso and Kemp. The ball got up, and they crushed it. So it's just always interesting. Guys like that just know how to hit their spots and
exactly.
Make pitches.
Yeah.
The bullpen came in, did their job last night. A little bit of a scare there with Kimbrell. Got a couple guys on, but he's been so good lately. But a really good defensive play there to end the game with Jed Jerko, and that's going to be our Montalvo Tequilo smooth play of the game. Two guys on. Ichiro hits one into the hole there. Jerko ranges way to his left, makes a really nice play to end the game there. Nice to see after being put into the game as a defensive replacement.
Yeah, 5 or 6 years ago, I don't know if you get Ichiro out.
Yeah.
At 41 years old, might have lost a step, you know, step and a half.
Well, speaking of defense, he made a really great play into
awesome.
The gap last
Unbelievable
night.
Unbelievable play.
Really thought was going to be extra bases, and he made a really nice play.
He's a great right fielder.
But a really good play there by Jed. That is our Montalvo Tequila smooth play of the game. Montalvo Tequila is triple distilled. equally smooth and locally owned. Montalvo Tequila, where craft meets crowd. A fun game last night, a nice quick game. Good to see. Low scoring, a lot of home runs, which are always exciting, and well pitched, which is something I'm guessing you're always looking for.
Well, yeah. You know, like in the team itself, they're 0 for 4 with runners in scoring position. That's fine as long as you're hitting three bombs. That's really good. You look on the other side in Cashner to compliment him again. Miami's 1 for 10 with runners in scoring position. It's making the right pitches and situations, and that's exactly what Cashner was able to do.
Something he's been criticized a little for this season, not getting himself out of some jams, and he really hunkered down.
And a lot of jams, it wasn't his fault. They'd make errors, get him in a situation, he'd make a mistake. But I thought he did a great job of damage control and making good pitches when he had to last night.
Absolutely. As always, we want to hear from you guys out there. Tweet us, hashtag PadresSH. Get your comments, questions on the show. As always, want to be interactive. You can also join us in the live chat, padres.com/social hour. Want to hear from you. Going to take a break when we come back, talk a little bit more about the offensive side of the ball last night, talk about tonight's game and many other things, working on a couple things that might stop by the studio here, so we'll see what Blooper has to say. But be here on Sunday. Sunday is Nickelodeon Day at Kids Fest. Meet SpongeBob and Patrick from SpongeBob SquarePants. Nickelodeon Day begins at 11 a.m. with a game against the Marlins at 1:10. Get your tickets at thepadres.com or the box office. More Padres Social Hour presented by United right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the AMR studios. Have some special guests here today. They are compadres winners. Gemma and her friends, say hi back there. They're here watching the show as one of their rewards. Appreciate
very nice.
Them stopping by, watching the show, regular watchers.
I gave Jenna my baseball since you dropped yours.
I did drop mine.
You rolled over in the corner.
I know.
I can't believe
you. You make me nervous, Randy.
Golly.
Well, you're a franchise four. Honoree at Major League Baseball. And not to make light of
Come
that, that
now.
Was really cool.
That was cool.
I haven't seen you, at least on the show, since the All-Star game, and I kind of knew you were going to be up there. I mean, if they weren't, I was going to pitch a fit to somebody that at MLB. But that was really, really cool to see, man.
That was really cool. It was great because Blooper had me on the pregame show, All-Star game day. So I didn't see any of the festivities.
So you missed yourself being unveiled as a part of the Padres Mount Rushmore.
I heard all about it when I got home.
Well,
you offered to be on the show on All-Star Day, being a former All-Star and all.
I can still throw you under the bus, though.
No.
Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story
here. Yeah, using common sense. I hate that.
Let's talk a little bit about the offense from last night and a lot of solo home runs. First off, let's talk about Brett Wallace. Brett Wallace is going to be our firehouse sub of the game. Now, I know he didn't come in as a pinch hitter. He didn't come in as a late replacement.
But he is a sub.
Exactly, because he is not a typical third baseman.
That's right.
He has not played third base in the major leagues in a long time. He only played a little bit there in the minors. A really nice defensive play there at third base for a guy not accustomed to that position. Goes out, gets two hits, crushes a home run. I mean, that's a big man hitting a big ball.
It's strong.
I mean, he hit that ball far and hard. So,
well, gotten to know Brett in spring training with us, and a good kid. He works really hard, and even here. Glad to see him up. We need the left-handed bat. I know Murph was looking for that off the bench or when he needs it. It was great to see him get a start and make a difference. And, getting two hits last night, that was big.
It was really big. And not only was that first home run big because they'd gotten down one run, and we see what happens with this team when they get down. They take a different approach. To be able to come in and tie the game with that home run, it changes the mood of that dugout.
Well, the momentum. The momentum switches over to the Padres.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, it changes the way other guys can approach their at-bats. There's a little looser. So what happens later? You get the home runs by Alonso and Kemp, and you take the lead.
Offensively, though, I think, like you're saying, with Aaron, on there, they were patient. They know the style of pitcher he is. And I thought they did a good job being patient at the plate, looking for that mistake. And our hitters found three of them and squared up. That's what you got to do.
So Brett Wallace, our Firehouse Sub of the game. Make sure to check out the new edition of Firehouse Subs at Petco Park or visit any of their San Diego locations in Point Loma, Escondido, or Encinitas. Brett Wallace scheduled to stop by here in just a little while, so we're going to talk to him about last night and the really interesting relationship he has, obviously, with Pat Murphy being his college coach, and now to reunite in the major leagues has got to be a really fun but bizarre thing that maybe neither of them ever could have possibly expected, right?
We talked to him. We had him as our post-game guest last night. On radio, and it was great. It's good to see him up here and him making a difference. That's the key thing. You know, getting not a lot of opportunities right now. We're getting some pinch hits. Hanky's hitting .250 as a pinch hitter, which is good.
That's really good.
Yeah, not really being, you know, that part of your repertoire. You know, been playing every day in the minor league. So him to get a start and to make good. And Norris got two hits, which is a good sign.
Really good sign. Absolutely.
You know, and obviously Matt Kemp is hot as he is. He had two hits. So, you know, it's big. Kemp, big night.
Kemp with the home run, Alonso with the home run, Norris with two hits. And the thing about Wallace that makes things a little more interesting, with the trade deadline approaching, there could be a team out there with need for a first baseman or a bat off the bench, whether that's Wallace or whether you wanted to make Yonder Alonso available. You have at least short-term answer at first base, because I think Wallace could kind of fit into that role somewhat easily if you had to make that type of a transition.
Oh, exactly. If you wanted to pull the trigger now, and obviously you have Myers coming back, you hope, in the next, let's say, 14 days. It'd be conservative, but you know, there's all kinds of opportunities. We just got to wait, and we got to play this thing out until the 31st of July. See what happens.
So Yonder and Matt Kemp go back to back last night, first time this year. But I didn't even realize that's the first time we've had back to back home runs since 2013.
I know, I couldn't believe that.
It didn't happen at all last year, and the last time was Chase Headley and Krista Norfia in 2013.
Yeah, against Arizona.
There's been a lot of home runs this year, and you're. Anecdotally, you think, oh, there had to have been one. There hasn't been.
No, I never really thought about it, but you know, since 2013, that's a lot of innings, man.
A lot of innings back to back. A lot of innings. One of the interesting moments last night's game was the bottom of the sixth. Brett Wallace singles, Derek Norris doubles, no outs, and the Padres don't get the run home. Clint Barmas trying to bunt. I don't know if he was squeezing or what the case was there, but he pops up the bunt. Melvin Upton's going on the play, and it turns into a double play, basically. Really rough situation when you get second and third, no outs, and you don't score.
Well, I'll go 5 minutes before that when Derek Norris got stuck off of second base on the little number up the middle.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he must have thought the
runner. He got no man's land where he really – I think he just assumed where the play was going.
He thought Wallace was going. He had to have thought Wallace was going for some reason the Melvin Upton fielder's choice.
And also, I think he anticipated on that slow roller. Couldn't get the guy at home plate. He's going to go to first. You know, he said, well, what happened? The second baseman, he eats the ball, and there's Derek sitting there by himself.
He froze. At least it got the runner to first base, only one out, which was the situation you were going to be in. You kept the guy at third, so it wasn't the end of the world.
Upton, you know, Melvin had a great jump. But I think somebody had to miss a sign somewhere in there, because it looked like maybe a safety squeeze by Clint Barmas, you know, because even that pitch was in a spot where you don't want to bunt at that pitch.
Yeah, because you got to go up high, and he has to try to get the bat on the ball.
Yeah, and then that safety squeeze, and he tried to get the bat on the ball. So.
Yeah, one of the interesting things, I brought that up because one of the things Pat Murphy said after the game, he said an uncharacteristic play by Barmas there, and he said, I promise that won't happen again. It's just something weird that you don't ever hear managers say to say, you know, about a veteran guy and making a mistake. He said, I promise that won't happen again. I found that a little interesting. And I don't know if it's something they talked about after the game or whatever the case may have been, but
it looked like
just
they were
a little different.
They were talking about it as soon as he walked in.
Right.
You know, that's just when they talked about it, which is fine. It's going to happen at times, but it was kind of bizarre.
No, definitely bizarre play there. Matt Kemp swinging a hot bat. Really, really good to see him, you know, double, home run, kind of picking up the pace there. Really, the extra base hits is what was lacking early in the year when he was going well in April. A lot of singles, high average, but now the extra base hits are coming. And
exactly.
It almost feels like you got a totally different Matt Kemp out there.
It's just like, you know, come out here and watching BP. You know, this is the BP we were on. Even early April, I was watching Matt Kemp and Upton, you know, and launch balls, you know, in there, even to right center, just swinging the bat great. And that's what you want to see in the middle of that lineup and something to be reckoned with. You got to get Justin going a little bit, but you know what's there. He just missed a pitch last night, I thought. You know,
right.
Getting close. You know, but you can see the frustration after his at-bats. He gets a little frustrated and animated, and I don't blame him.
Pat Murphy talked about that, too. Just an injury affecting a guy's swing, as Justin Upton with the oblique. It's going to take a little time for him to get back to, you know, getting his timing back, getting his swing back where it needs to be. Because
I think timing is a really good word, and that's the key, getting that good timing where you're squaring up on that ball, not just missing it like last night. Good call.
Yeah, and I mean, you got to make sure that, you know, you don't hurt yourself or make any changes to your swing to try not to hurt yourself.
I mean, watching BP when he hit four in a row out during BP in the last round, I think he's probably feeling pretty good right now.
Yeah.
It looked like it.
Good, and that's what they need.
If I was pitching it out, I might pitch around him a little bit if I could.
Probably. Well, you got a few more guys hitting in the lineup, hitting well. It makes it a little tougher to pitch around guys.
That's right.
And that's what you need all year. And I think at the beginning of the year, you talked about this team. If they were going to be successful, they needed good health. And that hasn't been the case, obviously,
right,
with Myers. And then you've lost Upton. You've seen how that affected the rest of the lineup for the last few games because it changed the dynamic for Matt Kemp, for Yonder Alonso, for Derek Norris. It takes that big bat out, whether you believe in protection or not.
We haven't got a lot of left-handed hitting. And when you hit two home runs by your left-handers, Yonder and Brett, last night, that's great to see. You get a chance of left-handers in that lineup, and they make an impact on the game. You know, they always talk about right-handed. Good to see the lefties, you know, pick it up last night.
Absolutely. All right, going to take a break. We're scheduled to be joined by Brett Wallace here shortly, so hopefully we'll get to see him on the couch very soon. Looking for paradise? Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious, made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. Visit the new Maui Waui locations inside Petco Park, at the Park of the Park, or at the Mercado. Also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. Padres Social Hour will continue right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
We're back. He's Randy Jones. I'm Mike Grace. Getting ready for baseball night in San Diego. Padres taking on the Marlins for game 3 of a 4-game set. Got a couple Twitter questions and comments to get to first. Stephanie says, is it true the Padres will be turning over the roster 3 times in 8 months? We don't know yet. We don't know what's going to happen.
No.
We really don't. I mean, A.J. Preller.
You could be turning over a couple of players, you know, and that's always possible as they, you know, try to tweak this, you know, 25-man roster. But, you know, I mean, I'm not sure what A.J. and the group, what they have in mind.
They got to see what's out there. You can't do anything with what's not out there.
That's right.
You can only make trades that other teams want to make. And you can only sign deals with free agents that want to sign. So you can only go with what's out there. Ownership has said recently that they're looking to keep payroll the same or grow it next year. So I think that means you can't do what maybe the Astros have done, where you just sell off everything, go with young guys, because if they're looking to stay competitive, I don't think you can see that much turnover and keep a higher payroll and compete.
You've got to see players that they're going to, you know, can impact, and maybe not immediate. You know, maybe they're guys up and coming, but you know, they got to be prospects that you can grow them. You might see them next spring training. You might see them next year, you know. But you know that's what you're looking for. And if you're not getting that good deal, you're not just going to move a guy just to move them.
No.
Now, if they move a few people, you know, and they free up $20-25 million, you know, for next year, I mean, I think that just gives them more of an opportunity. Maybe go out and do something in free agency, you know, in the off season. You know, but I know payroll's not going to go down, and all they're trying to do is make this ball club better. And, you know, we gave it a shot, you know, aggressively during the winter. Now there might be a few tweaks you want to do, you know, and if you get the right people, you know, the right pieces, then I think you make that move.
Yeah, you're going to make the best move for the team, whether it's in the short term, long term, or both.
Exactly.
You're not going to do anything just to do anything, right?
That's right.
So, all right, we're going to take another break here. And when we come back, Brett Wallace is going to join us, talk about last night and everything that's going since he joined the team. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Brett Wallace joins us right after this.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour here at the AMR studios as the Padres take on the Marlins tonight. Welcoming to the couch here, the Cholula hot seat, a guy who hit a big home run, not only in importance, but in size. That was a really, really long home run last night. Brett Wallace joins us on the Cholula hot seat. How you doing today, Brett?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. Since you hadn't been in the big league since 2013, I'm guessing that's a little more of a special home run for you than the average one that you've hit in your career last night.
Yeah, for sure. I think getting back and getting the chance to hit, you know, my first home run with this team, but also back in the big leagues with the year in between hitting one, it's always special, and it's, you know, kind of an adrenaline rush. But even more than that, I think just the way Cash was throwing the ball, you know, we want to put up some runs and give him a little bit of a cushion, so we know, you know, he can go out there and attack and go deep into that game because he was really in control there. So it's really big just the way where we were in the game and, you know, what we want to do.
Well, you had to be excited too, you know, start at third base. Hey. You know, you get a little fired up for that. Made a couple of good plays and some opportunities.
For sure. I mean, getting the chance to play defense and you know I'm in the starting lineup and that I'm going to get a few at-bats and I can kind of get in the rhythm of the game. You know, a lot of times defense is what leads to the rhythm that you feel kind of throughout the whole season. So, you know, it might be a couple balls hit to you, you feel comfortable and get that rhythm going, and then it carries over to the plate. And it can go both ways, but it's definitely special.
How different is it playing third base? Obviously, the ball comes off the bat a little different angle. Are you comfortable over there? I mean, obviously, you want to do anything to get in the lineup, and you're going to do whatever the skipper asks, but you feel comfortable at third base?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, it's always a process where you're learning every day, and new things come up, and we talk about it. But Hoffy's done a great job getting me ground balls. He gives me live ground balls and, you know, game situation, things like that. So he's done a great job of keeping me in a rhythm and keeping me comfortable over there. And, you know, anytime something comes up, we talk about it. But I feel good over there. And, you know, if that's going to help being able to do both, you know, I love doing that.
You know, and also, you know, being, you know, a left-handed bat, you know, which we needed up here, your opportunities to pinch hit with not a lot of experience pinch hitting. And you're doing a great job, you know, doing that. But also, it's got to help you as well as many swings as you're probably getting, you know, knowing Mark Kotze and Alonzo, they're going to make sure you're getting your swings.
Yeah, they've been awesome. Like you said, I hadn't pinch hit a lot. So leaning on Kotz and Zoe kind of teaching me the ropes and being able to learn a little bit of a routine, like what I'm going to do every day, you know, when I get my extra swings in, if it's, you know, pitchers are throwing live or early BP, or, you know, if I want to go in during the game, hit off the tee and kind of, you know, reestablish a rhythm or a feel that I was looking for. They've done a great job of kind of showing me the ropes of that and teaching me a routine. And every day I feel a little bit more comfortable with it, and I think that's been a huge part is them.
What is that process like during the game as you're watching? Obviously, you're probably not going to get an at-bat in the first five innings. Like, when do you start getting into the mindset of, all right, start thinking about what pitchers might be coming in, and how does that process work for you?
Honestly, it's kind of an all-day process for me. Instead of, you know, coming in and studying the starting pitchers and stuff, I normally come in and look into the bullpen and look at video of guys I think I might be facing that night, or, you know, what situations they might use them and what situations they might use me. So I start by that, and then about the fourth or fifth, I'll start, you know, going up in between innings, maybe ride the bike, get loose, start moving around a little bit, try to get, you know, some kind of rhythm going, and then I'll go in and hit off the tee. And, you know, you have to feel the game out because we want to be out there. And when you have guys like Cash was last night, I'm sure guys weren't hitting all game just because the way he was in control. But, you know, you feel it out, see how the pitcher's throwing, and see how we're doing as a team. And, you know, you just kind of start getting that feeling of, you know, this is sneaking up on me. I need to make sure I'm ready. And Kotz and Zoe, like you said, do a great job of letting us know too. They'll come down and kind of say, you know, hey, this is what I'm thinking. What do you, you know, what do you see, or what guys do you think they might use? So it's kind of a back and forth.
I think it's probably been invaluable all your time up here, you know, with this 25-man roster, some of the veteran guys up here every day, you know, pretty personable guys, and they probably helped your learning curve quite a bit as you've been here.
For sure. I mean, you know, you have the guys like, you know, Matt and Justin and all those guys in the lineup every day, so, you know, you can talk hitting with them all day, and you can learn things just by watching them play. But then also getting, you know, I knew Barmas before I came here. We played in Houston together. He's been great just, you know, helping me. He's had that role before coming off the bench or pinch hitting, double switch and things like that, so he's helped me with that routine. And then also like Melvin and, you know, all those guys, they're a great group. We have a really close-knit group, especially guys that are on the bench that are watching. You know, we're always like, hey, you know, I think this guy's going to get up, or this guy might be pitching later, so, you know, remember this is what he likes to do, or things like that. So we kind of lean on each other, and they've really done a good job of helping me settle in.
Now, I know they moved you for defensive purposes late in the game. I don't want you to get emotional about that, all right?
I think I'll be all right.
Talking to Brett Wallace here. You were in an interesting situation. Obviously, you signed with the Padres because of the situation to obviously looking for playing time. And then relatively soon after you sign, they start making a lot of trades for Justin Upton, Matt Kemp, Will Myers, Derek Norris. It kind of really changed the dynamic of this team. That had to be an interesting situation. Did you have any idea from what your agent had said when you signed here that this team was looking to make deals? And obviously it worked out that you made it back up to the big leagues at this point in the season, but the team changed dramatically from the time you signed to 2 weeks later, literally.
Yeah, for sure. I had an idea. You know, I think everyone in baseball not knew exactly the deals that would be made, but they knew that, you know, AJ is going to be aggressive and he wanted to, you know, remake the team a little bit and acquire some more talent and some more offense. So I definitely had an idea what could happen, and I felt like whichever way they went, whether they stayed the same and I was signing on to that group, or if they were going to add players, I felt like I could contribute to that team. So if they were going to add a bunch of guys and they wanted me to come off the bench or be able to play a couple different positions and, you know, give guys a day off here and there and then pinch hit, I was open to that. Or if they weren't going to go out and get a bunch of guys and maybe have me compete for a spot to play more often, you know, I think I could help either way. So I think as a competitor, you want to be on a good team. So when they started acquiring those guys, it was really exciting for me. I mean, I want to play with great players. I want to be on a great team, and I think that's, you know, what we have the opportunity to do here.
Well, also your relationship with Pat Murphy, our manager here now, and, you know, he was your coach in college. So, I mean, your relationship with Pat Murphy, it goes back quite a few years.
Yeah, it goes back to when I, you know, I think that those years at ASU really helped kind of establish who I was and how I wanted to play the game. And, you know, it kind of, he taught me and the program taught me a lot about, you know, how you prepare, how you play the game, how you take care of yourself and be responsible and accountable. So, you know, I have a great relationship with him, and that also helps, you know, through the process, knowing that you have someone in this organization that knows you and trusts you and believes in you. It's definitely a bonus for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't any coincidence that he takes over as interim manager. You came up not too long after that. What have you seen in him as a change from when you played for him in college to where he is now as a manager? What, baseball-wise, personality-wise, I mean, everybody grows. What have you seen different in Pat Murphy?
I think the biggest thing is, you know, he's changed a bit. You know, he's coaching an older, more mature team. You know, when you're in college, you're coaching young kids that are trying to learn how to mature. You know, here we have a veteran group that kind of can run the clubhouse and they can help some of the younger guys. So you don't have to maybe be as involved in every single thing. And I think he's really evolved in that sense. He lets some of the veterans handle certain situations.
In other words, he doesn't bark as much as he did in college.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment.
We,
yeah,
you have to be
you got to be a little bit more of a disciplinarian, and you got to be in control all the time. And I think here it's more about, you know, you set a tone and you set an idea and an identity that you want to play with, and then you let the team run with it. And I think that's the biggest difference. But other than that, same person, very, you know, passionate, wants to win, competitive, and
just a lot less room checks.
Exactly. And by the way, a lot less room checks. Good call. You know, but all, you know, also, you know, hitting 250 is a pinch hitter, and it being a brand new job. Good job. You've had some good quality at bats in that pinch hitting role. And that's not easy.
Thank you. Yeah.
You know, that mindset to get up there. And like you say, you got to do your little homework on some of the bullpen. But you still never know what you're really going to get. You haven't seen the guy. You know, that's not easy.
Sure.
You've done a good job, man.
Thank you. I appreciate
really,
that.
Really good.
Now, having a really good season so far here with the Padres. Really appreciate you stopping by. Congratulations on a great game last night. Hopefully continued success as we finish up this homestand and the rest of the season.
Appreciate your time. Thanks for having me.
And Brett was on the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your hot sauce with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Our thanks to Brett Wallace for stopping by the AMR studios. More Padres Social Hour right after this.
We're back with more of San Diego's number one source for everything Padres. It's Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines.
Baseball night in San Diego. Fun as always. You see the stage out there. I can't hear him right now. But Nelly is going to be on that stage following the game tonight. And I know you cannot wait. You can't wait, right, Randy Jones?
If I didn't have postgame, I'd be out there with bells on.
You would be out there right against the rail, just dropping the hammer. Right?
Throwing a couple of moves.
Oh, my gosh. I would pay money to have film of you throwing a couple of moves.
It would cost you money.
It would cost me money. You're not going to let anybody
Before
see that,
see
are you?
Before you see me, ain't going to happen.
Not going to happen?
Nope.
Let's talk a little baseball. Let's talk about the lineup for tonight, presented, as always, by United Airlines. United Airlines, proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. A little more normal of a lineup that we're used to seeing. So you got Venable, Solarte, Kemp, Upton, Alonso, Norris, Jerko, Barmas, Kennedy. If you had to say that's an everyday lineup, that's probably the everyday lineup that you have right now, given the injuries to Myers and everything going on. That's probably your everyday lineup, maybe a little switch in center field.
And Myers, you'd think those two might be – you'd see those names up at the top of the lineup a little bit more if they were healthy. That'd be the only difference.
It'd be really good to get Justin Upton going again, like you said. Get him and Kemp going back-to-back there. Really could change the dynamic of this lineup. Ian Kennedy on the mound tonight. Solid in his last start.
Yes.
Feel like he's got to find a way to go a little deeper in games. He just really hasn't been able to go deep in games all year long.
Well, I think the one thing, and this is not really this year, Mike, as well. I mean, boy, he can get ahead 0-2. He just has trouble getting that out pitch. You know, put him away pitch. He just has to go deeper. All of a sudden, it takes five more pitches for, you know, Ian to get that guy out. And that's the one thing he's got to learn or come up with that pitch, you know. But the one thing I like, he's more consistent in the strike zone. All our starters have been doing a better job of that. And just like you saw there, you know, they're a good curveball. But if he establishes down hitting good spots on the edges with a changeup and the fastball, That's when he has the opportunity to run that 93-mile-an-hour fastball up around the letters. He's really good. You know, not every pitcher can do that uniquely. He just knows that real spot up where they're going to chase it and can't get to it, can't get on top of it. He does a really good job of that. But he's got to establish down in the zone before they're going to get aggressive and try to attack that high pitch.
I mean, that's the key, right? The home run has been his bugaboo all year long. I mean, that's a lot
even
of
last
runs.
Time, the only problem is the home run. You know, one mistake. And, you know, it just seems like every time he leaves something over the plate, it leaves the yard.
One of those unlucky types of things.
Yeah.
Whenever he's pitched well, it's when he's not giving up home runs. And when he gets in trouble, it's
you
got to
create your
like
own luck in a lot of these scenarios. Quit making that mistake.
Don't put guys on base. You know, you're going to give up hits. But
solo
walk
shots
guys.
Are, you know, won't pummel you. But, you know, 2- and 3-run homers, you know, it puts you behind the eight ball immediately.
Well, you talk about that. Dan Heron, who's had some success this year, but he's given up 20 home runs.
Yes.
15 of them solo shots.
So there's nobody on base. It doesn't hurt just to run.
But that's the thing. You're attacking a hitter. If he hits a solo home run, so be it. But it's better than walking him for another guy that can put two runs on the board.
It's like a lot of
times
you get second and third nobody out as a pitcher out there, depending on where you're at. You do damage control, all right? You might think you're going to give up a run, but you got to trade outs for a run. You get two outs and a run to get the third out. That's the damage control you have to do.
Padres going up against David Phelps tonight. Pretty pedestrian numbers. And I'll be honest, I started, you know, you see a series coming in, and I'm like, all right, let's check out who's on the Marlins. There was a lot of guys on the Marlins. I had
no
idea.
I did the same thing. I looked at the roster and went, whoa. Either I'm getting older, all these names are brand new to me.
Well, I mean, you got D. Gordon, Giancarlo Stanton on the DL.
They're on the DL.
The two best players, and you're going to see all their pitchers except for Jose Fernandez, which is a stroke of luck for the Padres.
Yeah.
Even though it would be fun to see him, and the last time they faced him was the game that he hurt himself and had to have Tommy John surgery on.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Phelps a little bit in and out of the rotation this year. Had a really rough June. They put him in the bullpen. He's back in the rotation.
Back
he's had a couple decent starts.
A couple
of
starts, but you know, a little bit of a pitch count coming out. Back out of the bullpen, 5 or 6 inning pitcher, obviously, and live arm, hard thrower, he's going to come right after you. He had little walk problems his last time out, 4 walks, so you're not sure what you're going to get. And the one thing about today is they're going to see plenty of video, of him pitching, and so these guys have a pretty good idea. That's the one thing about today. He had a really good idea of what you're going to see on the mound before you even get out to the game.
So I wanted to talk a lot about this game before we set up the head-to-head challenge here, the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. Just
all right.
Give Blooper a little bit of an advantage because he got killed last night in the head-to-head challenge.
Really?
Well, Kurt picked Brett Wallace.
Well, I mean.
He took a flyer.
All I want to know is who he picked.
Amarista.
He was leading off, and he had good numbers
you
against Heron.
You always picked Derek Norris. What happened?
I haven't picked him in a little while.
Oh, I see.
Could that change today?
I see.
Well, I do have the first pick.
You do have first pick.
I have the first pick tonight?
I do.
I wasn't paying attention.
Oh,
did you show the standings yet, Bloop?
I can show them right now.
Let's see the standings, see where the couch stands against Blooper. All right. So we got a little bit of a lead there, Randy.
Wow.
19-16. We want to keep this momentum going.
I think right now the backpack could probably beat Blooper right now.
He's in a bit of a slump. Justin Upton goes into slumps. Not that you're Justin Upton of the head-to-head, but
I'm the Justin Upton of this show.
Oh, wow. I hope Jesse's watching.
Would you like
right
to pick?
I hope
would
he's
you,
not.
Hey, would you like to pick?
Pick your player.
Oh, pick? I'm going to go Matt Kemp. He's been doing well.
He has been doing well. That's very astute of you to notice that Matt Kemp has been playing good baseball. So
thank you.
That's the safe pick. So he's got Matt Kemp in the head-to-head challenge. Randy, who are you going to take
today? I have Justin Upton.
Because of everything you mentioned earlier. You saw good things in the cage.
I saw good things in BP. Everything. I feel good about that.
All right. I like that.
I do.
I like that. All right. So you've got the 3-4 hitters in tonight's lineup going head-to-head. They don't have any idea they're going head-to-head for you guys' sake, but
– they're not watching?
I would assume – I think they watch, but they don't listen because you can handle watching, but I don't know if you can handle listening.
Okay.
Yeah, they have the sound off, believe me.
They're waiting for Taylor Swift to appear on the show, then they'll watch and listen. How's that going, by the way?
It's going. I have to tweet at her again. I haven't in a week.
Have you come up with any plan other than tweeting at her to get Taylor
I might
Swift?
Talk to people in our front office that are putting on the concert.
That's a start.
And seeing if maybe they can schedule her to come down here.
Yeah, I would start this next road trip. You had a little more time on your hands.
Yes, I will.
Good idea.
All right, Randy, I'm going to ask you the question of the night. Putting odds on him getting Taylor Swift on this couch in some form or fashion, what are the odds that he actually pulls this off? No.
Whoa.
No, phone does not count.
Her calling in to promote the concert is definitely something.
Oh. I don't know if that's a win. But let's put that aside. Her getting on the couch. Set the odds, Randy.
50-1.
50-1. Wow. I probably would have said like 10-1.
Well, you know what worries me? But he's not asking anybody for help. He's trying to do it on his own.
Well, he has a plan to ask people for help. That's a start,
right? What good is a plan if you don't execute the plan?
Well, we're a month out from the concert. I was waiting for that point, so it's on people's list.
It's not too early.
No, it's not. Right about now. This week is my time.
We made him defensive. I accomplished my goal here. That was all I really wanted to get out of this. So, hey, good luck in the Supercuts head-to-head challenge.
Yes.
At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. One more segment. We'll finish the show right after this.
You'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padre Social Hour.
Final segment of the show. Randy Jones checking his phone. He's here. Going to check in with Twitter. Few Twitter questions.
Yes, I like that.
Travis asks, I keep hearing that Myers will come back and play first. What will happen with Alonso if the Padres go that way? What do you think will happen?
Well, good question. I mean, you got the lefty-righty matchup right there. That could be one thing. You've got a left-hander, you know, mess him a little bit more at first base. Still have the opportunity of, you know, putting him in left field. And you never know, by that time there might be a void if by the trading deadline. We don't know. So
that's the thing you got to remember.
You got to remember that.
Justin Upton might be on another team that opens up left field, and then
exactly.
Maybe he plays there. Maybe, you know, we've seen Yonder Alonso at third base. We know AJ
Preller.
Believe
Peller's me, you're still going to see a ton of Yonder.
Yeah.
You're going to see a ton of Yonder. Don't worry about that. He's going to be out there.
I mean, he's the one guy on this team that gets on base.
He's the one guy. It's great. His dad and his stuff has been here watching him play this series, and it's good to see him at the ballpark, getting to watch his son play.
Yeah, no, like that's great. And what is it? His dad played with Adrees Mayer's dad in Cuba.
Yes.
When they were kids. Really really cool story there. East Village Times, I realize it's a rumor, but if Shields were traded, do you believe that would ruin future free agents potentially signing here?
No.
It's all about how he leaves, right? If he's okay with it and kind of signs off on everything, I mean, that's kind of the first step, right?
Well, I personally don't think that, you know, starting pitchers, you know, call each other and talk. I mean, it's all about the environment and the money. And when you're a free agent coming over here, and I don't care if we did move James Shields. I mean, if you're a starting pitcher out there, you don't want to pitch at Petco. You know, you need to have your head examined.
Sure.
This is a pitcher's ballpark.
Sure.
It's a great place to pitch.
And he's a competitor. As much as I know he loves living here and being a part of this organization, if he could go into a pennant race, that's going to be something that probably appeals to him on some level.
I would think so. And like I say, you just never know. It would have to be the right situation, you know, move him, I think. But, you know, you never know in this game.
And you also have to remember there's probably dominoes there, all right? So if you decide to trade James Shields, that's a pretty big salary number for next year. Well, that's something that could be used to re-sign Justin Upton.
Or try to. Or someone else.
You know. But, I mean, if you feel good about Justin Upton, he likes it here, maybe you trade him, but maybe you don't. Maybe you trade him, but you could still sign him back. So, I mean, those are all the things that go into
this. There's so many options. I mean, if you don't trade him and he's here, you tender him an offer, he files for free agency, then we get a draft pick. I mean, there's all kinds of scenarios here.
And that leads to our last tweet here from East Village Times. Come on, Benoit, Kennedy, Venable, Kelly, Upton will all be dealt. Can't let them walk away and receive picks next June. I don't necessarily agree with that because if they're not giving you first-round talent back and you're going to get first, second compensatory round talent in the draft bag, then you feel good about your scouting department being able to identify players, and you go with those draft picks. And if you don't feel good about the players coming back, you don't make the deal.
Yeah, and I don't think all those guys are gone, number one.
No, but I mean, those are all the guys that are free agents.
Yeah,
but
I think you might be able to re-sign a couple of those. But, you know, also, if you're saving that money's still going to be reinvested to try to improve this ball club next offseason.
No,
so I really believe that. So.
No, it's true. I mean, Will Venables talked about how he'd love to play his whole career here. I think, you know, that's a guy that's valuable on many levels.
I agree.
And could possibly take a discount to stay here because he wants to play his whole career. He's embedded in the community.
I think that would make sense.
It would make sense because he's very comfortable in this role that he's established with this team, and that's probably not going to change too much. He plays good defense, left-handed bat, because it's going to be interesting to see what does happen with Will Myers, whether he stays in the outfield or moves to first base. But there's going to be need to be some defensive replacements, and that's where he can fill in.
Yeah. Well, hey, we'll know by the trading deadline.
It's going to be a very interesting few
days
here, Randy.
It always is, Mike.
Our thanks to Brett Wallace for stopping by today. Our thanks to Gemma and friends for stopping by. Thanks for watching the show. Enjoy the game tonight. Padres Marlins coming up just a little later.